This morning I'm preaching on the subject of how we should dress, what kind of clothing we should wear, and the verse that I wanted to focus on there in Deuteronomy 22 is verse number 5, where the Bible reads, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now as we get started, a lot of people right away would bristle at a sermon like this and say that we should not preach about how people dress because it's only what's on the inside that matters. But actually the Bible says in Matthew 23, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." So Jesus is not saying that the outside does not matter. He's simply saying that the inside is more important than the outside. And he said that we should first cleanse that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also. So he doesn't want us to be dirty on the outside and clean on the inside. He wants us to be clean on the inside and clean on the outside. And how we dress does matter. And if people would actually be honest with themselves and each other, they would all admit that it does matter how we dress. Because, for example, no one in any Christian church, even if we went down to the most liberal fun center of a church, would think that it's okay to go naked, or would think that it's okay for a man to show up to church in a dress or in drag. I mean, even the most liberal, watered-down Christians are going to draw the line somewhere and say, that clothing is ridiculous, that clothing is off the wall, that clothing is obscene, that clothing is ungodly. Everyone would have that standard. Even the most atheistic universities across our land would have a time where they pulled somebody out of a class and said, you can't come to class dressed like this. So even the public school system has their clothing standards. But the question is, how does God want us to dress? What should be our standard as Bible-believing Christians when we get up every morning and choose the clothes that we put on our body, or when we go out shopping and we're purchasing clothing? What should we have on our mind? What kind of biblical principles should guide us as we choose our clothing? Well, first of all, the most important thing about our clothing, and this is especially important in 2017, in fact, more than it's ever been important in our lifetime or in anybody's lifetime that's even still around today or in the history of the United States of America, it's important in 2017 that we dress in clothing that is appropriate to our gender. Right. I mean, when was that more important? In the 80s or now? In the 50s, 60s, 70s, or now, when today the so-called LGBT agenda is in full swing? I say LGBT stands for let God burn them. That's what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But today that agenda is in full swing. It's being crammed down our throats, and there's a blurring of the lines between the genders to where we have a gender-neutral movement or a post-gender or three genders or five genders. We're living in some strange times. And more than ever, God's people need Deuteronomy 22:5 to guide them in the way that they dress. That a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Those are some pretty strong words when he says, hey, if you do that, you're an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Strong language about people who would wear the clothing of the other gender. Now, if you would, keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 22:5. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A lot of people, when you preach on this subject, would say, well, that's Old Testament. And they think that it somehow is irrelevant because it's in the Old Testament. Now, first of all, let me say this. Jesus did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Until all be fulfilled. Now, are there certain things that Jesus fulfilled while he was on this earth? that we no longer observe, that we no longer practice? Yes. Because he fulfilled, for example, all those animal sacrifices. We don't sacrifice a lamb or a goat or a ram or a bullock because Jesus Christ is the lamb that's slain once for all. That's been fulfilled. And in the New Testament, there are certain changes to the law, but those are specifically laid out in Scripture, especially in books like Hebrews and in the book of Colossians, where he specifically explains to us which things have been fulfilled, which things are just figurative, which things we don't practice in the New Testament. We don't practice circumcision in the New Testament, but the Bible is really clear on that and explains in the New Testament why we don't observe that. But what in the world are people thinking when they think, oh, the New Testament was to bring in cross-dressing? I mean, that's just a weird doctrine right there. That's a strange doctrine, my friend, to sit there and say, oh, well, in the New Testament, you dress in drag. So what kind of a nutcase would say that Deuteronomy 22:5 no longer applies? I mean, you might as well say, thou shalt not kill no longer applies. Or thou shalt not steal no longer applies. Look, these are things that are just as true today as they were 2,000 years ago or 4,000. These are certain moral laws of the Old Testament that we still should be following today. And if God has somehow changed his mind in the New Testament about dressing in the other gender's clothing, then explain this to me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 14 says, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Right there, the Bible makes it crystal clear that men and women should have different hair. Men should have short hair, and women should have long hair. Well, if God wants our hair to be gender specific, why would he want us to wear unisex clothing? When he already told us in Deuteronomy that that's an abomination. And Jesus didn't die on the cross, you know, to rend just the veil in the temple and to somehow like rend gender neutral clothing or something. It's foolish. But what it is that people don't want to get on God's program. So they're just grasping at straws to try to find a way to, you show them a clear scripture and then they go, it's Old Testament. Oh, man, dodged a bullet on that one. That's just kind of a handy little thing to throw out there. Well, you know what? The New Testament teaches the same doctrine that we as men and women are to look different from one another. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when I'm out in public and I can't figure out what gender someone is. It's weird. It's annoying. It's ungodly. It's sinful when people go out and you can't tell what it is. Is it a man? Is it a woman? We don't know. But if people followed the Bible, we'd always know. Because we'd see short hair and men's clothing and know it's a man. And then we'd see long hair and women's clothing and see this is a woman. And we wouldn't have these moments of perplexity. And sometimes when you're in a service industry, you don't know whether to say sir or ma'am. You don't know whether to say he or she. And then people get all offended when they don't even look like one or the other. Now, let's talk about what this means. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, in order for this verse to make sense, and I'm just going to use some real basic logic here. In order for this verse to make sense, then these two type of clothing must exist. Right? If somebody said there's no such thing as a woman's garment, then this verse wouldn't make any sense, would it? Because this verse is telling men not to wear something, and it's telling women not to wear something, so those things have to exist. And I know I'm getting really basic right now, and you say, okay, why are you stating the obvious? What are you going to tell us next, that the sky is blue? But you have to break this down for people, because people don't want to accept the truth of what I'm preaching this morning. So you got to really just stop and slow down and break this down. There has to be some clothing that women are not supposed to wear for this verse to make sense. And there has to be some clothing that men are not supposed to wear in order for this verse to make sense. Does everybody get that? So the question is, what is he talking about here when he says that a man should not put on a woman's garment? I mean, if we were to walk up and down the street and ask people, hey, when the Bible says that a man should not put on a woman's garment, what do you think an example of that would be? You know what they would all say for a woman's garment? They'd say he's not supposed to put on a dress. He's not supposed to wear a skirt. Isn't that kind of a no-brainer? Don't wear dresses, don't wear skirts. So what are you supposed to wear, men? Pants. You're supposed to wear pants. Men wear pants. They don't wear skirts and dresses, right? And obviously, you could also wear shorts, you know, as long as they go down to your knee to cover your nakedness. You know, in the Bible, there's examples of that, of men wearing pants that went down to their knee. So men wear pants. Okay, but then if we were to ask people, well, the Bible says that the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. If you ask, well, what are the women not supposed to wear? What article of clothing should the women not wear? This is where people would just have no answer for you. They would just be perplexed because what their belief is that women can wear all clothing. So in the United States of America today, the belief is that men can only wear pants or shorts. They cannot wear skirts and dresses. Amen. I agree with that. But then the doctrine in our culture today is that women can wear all clothing. Women can wear skirts, dresses, pants, shorts. They can wear all things. Coveralls, rompers, whatever. I heard that now people are dressing like toddlers and putting on a romper. Who heard of this thing? That it's something going around the internet. I hope it's just an internet hoax. But they were showing all these people in rompers. And somebody said, hey, don't wear a romper. That's women's clothing. I'm thinking, that's not women's clothing. That, you know, the Bible verse that you should be pointing to on that one is, when I became a man, I put away childish things.
That's right.
Or how about, here's a verse against rompers, the thought of foolishness is sin.
Amen.
So, you know, today the doctrine is men can only wear certain clothing, which I agree with. They should only wear men's clothing. But the doctrine is that women can wear all clothing. Now that doesn't jive with this verse. Because this verse is saying that there's something that women should not wear that pertains to a man. Now, obviously, we know it's not a shirt, it's not a sweater, it's not a t-shirt, it's not socks, it's not shoes, it's not a scarf, it's not a hat. Those are all things that both wear. Look, if the one thing that men aren't supposed to wear is dresses and skirts, and the one thing that they are supposed to wear is pants, you know what the woman's not supposed to wear is pants. There, I said it.
Amen.
Women should not wear pants. Now, look, in this country, that was understood until recently. In fact, even in the 1960s, in Los Angeles, California, when my dad was in high school, no pants allowed on the girls. Skirts and dresses only. I mean, it was against the law to dress in drag in this country, and there are multiple examples of women being arrested for wearing pants. And look, I'm just pointing that out to show you that historically, in our Christian culture, men wear pants and women wear skirts and dresses. Even the bathroom door can tell you that.
Right.
That's the universal sign for a man and a woman, is a picture of a guy in pants and a picture of a woman in a skirt. That's the universal symbolism that tells you which bathroom to go into. Even if you're illiterate, you know which bathroom to use. And even today, people will still say that someone wears the pants in the family or wears the pants in the relationship, as a symbol of they're the man, they're the boss, they're the one who's calling the shots. Now, let's look at men wearing pants in the Bible, shall we? Exodus chapter 28, if you would. Exodus chapter 28, and we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. I have 6 pages of scriptures up here.
Amen.
So I'm looking at scripture this morning, and all I want to do is just expound what the Bible says. You know, if God wanted me to wear a romper, I would wear a romper. You know why? I'm going to wear whatever God tells me to wear.
Amen.
I mean, clothing is just something that, it's not the most important thing in our lives, is it? It's what's inside that counts, right? Clothing's not the most important thing. I don't spend hours agonizing over clothing. I hate buying clothing. Right now, I really need to go clothing shopping for myself because I've just worn out a couple pairs of pants recently and I need to replace them. And I just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and just wearing the same pants every day, my one pair of pants, because I just hate clothing shopping because it's just not that important to me as a man. Now, I know it's more important to the ladies that they dress nice and look, but as a man, it's a, you know, you find a suit that works, you find a pair of work pants that works, you smell the t-shirt, you throw it on, and you're ready to roll. You know, we don't need to fixate on our clothing. The Bible says, isn't life more than meat? Isn't the body more than the raiment, than the clothing? I mean, is this really the most important thing? So that's why it's amazing when people will get hung up on it, quit the church, get angry at the preacher because he's telling you what the Bible says about clothing? Who cares? If God wants me to wear a romper, I'll wear a romper. If he wants me in pants, I'll wear pants. If he wanted me in a jumpsuit or a spacesuit, I'll do it. Why? Because God's the boss. That's why.
That's right.
So the whole point of the sermon is just to go to the Bible and figure out how God wants us to dress. Amen? And the first thing we see is that God doesn't want men putting on women's garments. And he does not want women wearing that which pertaineth unto a man. Now, a lot of people say, well, they didn't wear pants in the Bible. That's a fraud. That's nonsense. Somebody said pants hadn't been invented yet. So the people that built the pyramids, they hadn't thought of pants yet. The people that built the aqueducts and the Stonehenge, and people who sailed around the world had never even thought of pants. And here's how the first pair of pants was invented. A guy woke up and he was tired and disoriented, and he took a shirt and he accidentally started to put a shirt on the bottom. And he said, wait a minute, this could be close. I mean, come on, is anybody really that foolish to think that pants don't go all the way back to the beginning? A piece of fabric on each leg? It's not that complicated, folks. Somebody said pants were invented in the 1700s. I mean, that I was just blown away by that. Because the word pantaloons goes back to the 1700s. Pants is a newer word for it because we used to have other words to talk about pants. And anybody who's actually done real study of history knows that in all kinds of historical documents, it talks about the way people dress, and you'll read about people wearing pants all the time. Like, for example, one of the most famous battles of ancient Greece was the Battle of Thermopylae, and all the Persians were noted to have been wearing pants down to their ankles, and the Spartans were basically out there in their underwear because they're a bunch of sodomites. Okay? That's what the true story is. And you can read that in the ancient sources if you've actually studied ancient history. So, of course, pants go back. But the Bible mentions pants repeatedly. So, of course, they wore pants back then. Look at Exodus chapter 28, verse 40. This is when God is giving the priests their garments. It says in verse 40 of Exodus 28, And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with them, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs, they shall reach. So he talks about coats and girdles and bonnets, but then he says also make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Now, what are breeches? So I went to my favorite dictionary, which is dictionary.com. I find that to be the best dictionary. And dictionary.com, definition number one, also called knee breeches or knee-length trousers, often having ornamental buckles or elaborate decoration on or at near the bottoms, commonly worn by men and boys in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. Definition number two, riding breeches. Definition number three, trousers. Definition number four is an idiom, too big for one's breeches. And that's one who is asserting themselves beyond their authority or ability, being too big for your breeches, it says. That's what it says in the dictionary. All four definitions are what? Pants.
Right.
All four. Knee-length pants. Riding pants. Pants that were popular in these centuries and on and on. Then I went to the British Dictionary. Definition number one, trousers. Trousers is what they call pants in England. Trousers extending to the knee or just below. Worn for riding, mountaineering, etc. Definition number two, any trousers. Definition number three, being unduly self-confident is to be too big for one's britches. Then, breech singular, B-R-E-E-C-H. So the singular of this word, breech singular. Definition number one, the lower dorsal part of the human trunk, the buttocks or rump, is called the breech of the body. Definition number one of breech. The breeches are the pants that go down to the knee. Now, isn't that exactly what the Bible says here? Because it says, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even to the thighs they shall reach. So notice, these are not ankle-length pants. They're knee-length because they're covering the loins and the thighs. So it's exactly what the dictionary said it is. It's a pair of pants that goes from the loins to the thighs. Now, some people would say this. They'd say, well, when it says from the loins to the thighs, it means it stops before the thighs. Okay, but then it would have to stop before the loins too, and then it would be a string because the loins and the thighs are connected. I mean, you need to sing that song about the dry bones from Ezekiel 37. You know, the leg bones connected to the hip bones connected. Look, obviously, the loins to the thighs, if it's not inclusive, you're not covering anything. Okay? No, loins to the thighs means cover the loins and cover the thighs. Right. Amen? So it's pretty simple here to see, both from the dictionary and from the context of the passage itself, this is a pair of knee-length pants that they're wearing. And he says that you wear them to cover your nakedness. Now, everybody, I want you to focus in on that word cover. Cover, to cover. Now, when we think of a cover, is that on the outside or the inside? I mean, come on, people. A cover, a car cover, it's on the outside, isn't it? Everything that's a covering is on the outside, right? Okay, well, what the modern Bible versions will do to twist this, because they have a gender-bending agenda also, by the way. That's why they're changing he and she. They try to make it gender-neutral. Look, the 2011 NIV version of the Bible, it uses they for singular. I mean, the word they is plural, right? It uses they for singular in order to be gender-neutral. So instead of saying he or she, it'll say they, meaning one person. Think about it. Well, it's easier to understand. But no, it's trying to be gender neutral. That was the biggest difference from the 2010 NIV and the 1984 NIV. That was the thing, to make it more gender neutral. Okay, well, here's what the NIV does to this verse. You're looking down at your King James Bible, Exodus 28:42. Make linen undergarments as a covering for the body. Now, last time I checked, undergarments aren't a covering unless your name's Superman. You don't wear your underwear on the outside. What kind of stupidity is that? Undergarments go under, and covering is to cover. Look, underwear doesn't cover your nakedness, friend. Because you know what? Whether or not you're wearing underwear, you're just as covered as you were with or without them. Because they don't cover you. To sit there and say, oh, make sure to cover their nakedness with underwear. It's nonsense. That just turns the word covering on its head, turns the word under on its head, turns the word nakedness on its head. No, but if we just actually approach the Bible and just use the basic dictionary definition and just believe that the King James Bible's right and it's the new versions that are twisting things, then it's real clear what's going on here. That you wear a pair of pants to cover your nakedness. Why? Because if we were to remove our pants today, we would be naked from a biblical definition. Because if our thighs are exposed, that's our nakedness. So even if we were wearing something under that, to remove the pants is to expose the nakedness. Why? Because the pants are to cover your nakedness. That's what the Bible's teaching here. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Now let's look at some other scriptures on pants in the Bible, because pants aren't just something mentioned one time. Go to Exodus 39. Exodus chapter 39. And while you're turning to Exodus 39, I will read for you from Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Leviticus 16:4, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. These are the priest's garments. Exodus 39:27. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen. A mitre is a hat. And goodly bonnets of fine linen. This is also headgear or hats or something that you put on your head. The mitre, the bonnets. And it says, linen breeches of fine twined linen. What is linen? Linen is a plant-based fabric. And a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. Go, if you would, to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'll read for you from Ezekiel 44:18. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. So he wants them to be clean. He doesn't want them to wear something that's going to make them real sweaty. So they wear something that can breathe. So they're wearing these linen garments, and they're wearing pants and coats and other accoutrements that are listed there. Look down at your Bible in Daniel 3. So far I've showed you 5 scriptures. This isn't just one verse. 5 scriptures where God is reiterating the fact that the priests are all to be wearing pants. And because they're in a warm place, just like we live in a warm place, they're wearing them to the knee, which has been pretty common throughout history. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 21, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The hosen are pants. Hosen is Old English for pants. In German today, that's the word for pants. One of the first things you learn when you're learning German is die Hose, die Hosen. That's a very common word. And even in English, we use the word Lederhosen, right? And we picture German children wearing, long shorts with suspenders and whatever, and we call that Lederhosen. So we see breeches, we see hosen. The reason we don't find the word pants is simply because the word pants doesn't go back to 1611. The Bible was translated in 1611 into modern English, and the word pants came about 100 and some years later. And so there you go. These are the old word is breeches. The old word is hosen. That's what's used in the Bible. So there's no mystery here about men wearing pants in the Bible. I just showed you 6 references that specifically mention pants. Now here's one that does not specifically mention pants, but it still implies pants, would be in the book of Job. You don't have to turn there. But in Job 38, verse 3, it says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Job 40, verse 7, gird up thy loins now like a man, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Now the reason it talks about girding up your loins like a man is that men in the Bible often wore other garments over their pants, such as coats or cloaks or different vestures and raiment and garments that would hang down, like this coat or a longer coat. And when they would work hard or run or do something strenuous, they would take the skirts of their garment, meaning the long part of the coat that hangs below the waist, and they would tuck it up in like this, and that's girding up their loins. And the reason it says like a man is because only a man could do that, because women weren't wearing pants. So they, if they were to gird up their loins in that way, then they would be exposing their nakedness at that point. Whereas men have what? Pants on. Yeah. So they can gird up their loins like a man. Now, when you show this in the Bible and you show that they're wearing pants and that we're supposed to wear gender-specific clothing, This is what people will inevitably say. Well, everybody in the Bible days, they all wore robes. Who's heard that before? Jesus wore a robe. Everybody's in a robe. You'll hear that pretty commonly, right? Well, let me first of all say this to you, and this may surprise you, but it's the truth, is that when Jesus walked on this earth, he never wore a robe, except when they put a robe on him and made fun of him. The only time that you'll find Jesus putting on a robe in the entire New Testament is when he's put on a robe dressed up like a mock king. They put a gorgeous robe on him, and they bowed down to him, spit on him, hit him in the face, etc. That's when Jesus wore a robe. Now, the reason for this is that a robe in the Bible, and look, I'm showing you all this from the Bible. And right now, we're going to look at every mention of robe in the whole New Testament. And you don't have to turn to all of these, but if you would, just turn to Matthew chapter 27. What you'll find in the Bible is that a robe is something that a king wears or something that very rich people wear. Now, when Jesus Christ returns one day, he's going to be wearing a robe because he's going to be coming as a great king and a Lord of Lords. And also, when people get to heaven, they're issued robes, aren't they? You know, they're clothed in white robes up in heaven. Why is that? Because clothing or robes in the Bible are what rich people wear or royalty wear. The reason that Jesus did not wear a robe is because he was poor. He was not rich. He was humble, and so he didn't wear robes. He wore a poor man's clothing. So let's look at every time the word robe is used in the New Testament. Look at Matthew 27, verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. This is when they're making fun of him. Look at verse 31. After they'd mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Okay, so the robe was only put on him just to make fun of him because it's something that only kings would wear or wealthy people or rich men. Luke, you don't have to turn there, but Luke 15, you go ahead and turn to Revelation 6 and 7. But in Luke 15, the Bible talks about the prodigal son. And it says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. So notice, when the prodigal son comes home, they really want to treat him well. So they put a robe on him, shoes on his feet and a ring. Guess what? That's not the stuff Jesus wore. Jesus didn't wear shoes. Jesus wore sandals. Jesus didn't wear a robe. He wore a simple coat. And so this is only what royalty would wear. Luke 20, verse 46 tells us, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. And they love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. Luke 23, 11, Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. John 19, 2, the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. John 19, 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. Look down at your Bible in Revelation 6. We're looking at every mention of robe in the Bible. So I don't know why we get this image of Jesus and his disciples walking around in robes. It's never found in Scripture. They're poor working class men that dress like normal people. He rebuked the religious teachers of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees for going in the long robes. He's saying, you know, when I'll put on a robe is when I'm the king, when I return. You'll get a robe when you get to heaven, but we're supposed to walk on this earth meek and humble and lowly, not to dress up like kings and princes and wealthy people. The Bible says in Revelation 6:11, white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Go to chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm not going to take, that's every mention in the whole New Testament of robes. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through all the Old Testament mentions, but I will summarize them for you. There are several mentions of robes in Exodus and Leviticus. The priests wore priestly robes. Then we will see kings like King Saul, David, Jonathan, and people like that wearing robes. We see the princess, daughter, virgins of the king that wore robes. Job talked about a robe in conjunction with a diadem, meaning a scepter that you rule with. And on the king of Nineveh took off his robe. I mean, it's consistent. Jehoshaphat's wearing a robe. It's the kings and the high priests and the Levite people that had special garments that wore robes. You never in the Bible see the average person wearing a robe. You never see the apostles wearing a robe, Jesus wearing a robe. It's something people are wearing when they get to heaven, when they're ruling and reigning with Christ, okay? Right. Now, I've brought for you today a robe, okay? So I just, because it, people, they twist things. We all know what a robe is. But today, people will show you a picture of a bunch of Romans and Greeks who were known as some of the most perverted people in a toga and tell you that's a robe. A toga is not a robe. Look, togas are worn by these bunch of pervert Caesars and pervert Greeks, and that's a wicked, sinful culture. It's glorified today because of the Renaissance, but it's not godly. All of our images of Jesus come from the Renaissance. What's the Renaissance? The Renaissance is a time of restoring ancient knowledge, wisdom, art. But what they did is they had a Renaissance of the Greek and Roman culture. That's what the Renaissance was. So what they do is they paint Jesus and the apostles to look like Greek gods and Roman gods. So they take ancient paintings of Jupiter and all these, Neptune, all these, and what they do is they take that style, that type of clothing that they wore, the way that they looked, and then they dress up the apostles, and they make Jesus and the disciples look like these wealthy Roman royalty or Greek gods or Greek royalty, because that's what they were into. These guys, think about it. If you just study your whole life the art of Rome and Greece, and then you start painting Christian art because that's what there's a market for, then you're going to make all Jesus and the apostles look. That's why they have them with long hair, even though the Bible says that men are to have short hair. And that's why they put them in a toga and a tunic, because they're basing it on ancient Rome, ancient Greece. They're not basing it on the Bible. This is a robe, friend. And you already knew that without me even telling you that this is a robe, all right? So here I am putting on my robe. This one's not washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. But this is a robe, friend, all right? Just so that there's no mistaking what this is. Now, who would wear this type of a garment? Well, you see kings and they wear something like this, don't they? Kings have this kind of a garment on. It's a robe, right? Who else wears this? Well, my son came up to me this morning. He had a Sherlock Holmes book. And he showed me a picture. He said, "Dad, Sherlock Holmes wears a robe too." And it showed him like sitting in a chair with a pipe and a robe. Because think about it. In the 1800s, that was pretty popular. You'd get home from work, take off your shoes, put on your slippers, put on your robe, the evening robe, and you'll see men relaxing in the study with their robe and a pipe. But here's the thing. Whether it's a king's robe worn by Louis the 16th or James the 6th or whatever the king throughout history, whether it's a king's robe, whether it's an evening robe, or whether it's a bathrobe, this is the garment that they're always wearing. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? This is a robe. I mean, how can anyone dispute that I'm wearing a robe? And you know what this is right here? The girdle. Okay, now look. If I'm wearing this right here, right? What if I'm just wearing this? You really expect me to believe that that's clothing that any man has ever worn throughout history to go actually work and do something? You think you're going to go out and just wear just this? Yeah, maybe if you're in Central Park in New York City and you're a pervert, you're going to go out in just this. Maybe at Walmart at 2 a.m., you might find somebody wearing just this. But nobody, don't tell me Jesus and his apostles, all right, let's go, and that's all they're wearing. That's stupid. Even if Jesus wore a robe, which he never did, except when they forced him to wear it and spit in his face with it, if Jesus wore a robe, guess what he's got under it? The same thing I got on under it. Pants.
That's right.
To cover your nakedness, right? This is not a suitable garment to just wear this by itself with nothing else. Did you notice I coordinated the tie even? I didn't plan that. Okay, so this is a robe. Now, Jesus didn't wear a robe. Jesus wore a coat. Okay, there are all kinds of scriptures on this. Jesus told them, be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Go to John chapter 19. He said, be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He said, if any man take away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. He said, don't have two coats apiece. Now, what's a coat? Well, first of all, this is an example of a coat. Number one, what I'm wearing right now, this is a coat. This is a type of coat, right? This is a coat, and this goes below my waist, right? And the part that goes from my waist to here is called the skirt of the garment. Okay? The part that hangs below the waist, any dictionary can tell you that. Okay? Then I could give another example. That's a short coat, right? Here's an example of a long coat right here, okay? So we don't really need this much in Arizona. This is a long coat right here, right? See this? This is a coat. And these, we all know these definitions. What a coat is, what a robe is. What's a cloak? A cloak is like a mantle, something that even goes just over like a cape or something like that. Okay, so again, am I going to go out in just this? Does this replace pants? Hey, let's get you a pair of pants. Oh, no, I've already got my coat. And look, if you were to go out in a coat, no pants. A robe, no pants. Cloak, no pants. Mantle, no pants. You know what? How are you going to work without showing your nakedness? How can you do anything? I mean, how are you going to be a sailor on a ship and you're working and doing all this manual labor? Look, people who did manual labor have always worn pants because it's practical for doing manual labor. And you know what's so funny? The same people who try to tell you, oh, Jesus and his disciples, they all wore dresses. They all wore skirts. Or they'll tell you it was a robe, and then they show you a picture of a dress. They show them in a little summer dress and say, this is, look, every flannel graph, every Sunday school book, every coloring book down at the Christian bookstore shows them in either a little party dress or a summer dress or a toga. That's what they show. And look, men throughout history have always worn pants as a practical garment. You know, yeah, a bunch of rich senators and fake Greek gods, yeah, they lay around in a bathhouse all day and wear a toga and eat grapes and whatever. Right? But the same people who tell you, oh, Jesus was in a dress, Jesus was in, everybody wore dresses, everybody wore robes, they all wore the same clothes back then, men and women wore the same. I saw it in Sunday school. I saw it in the flannel graph. These are the same people. Here's what they'll tell you. Oh, I'm a woman and I have to wear pants because I can't do anything in a dress. Isn't that what they'll say? Oh, Pastor Hansen said not to wear pants, but then I can't do anything. Well, according to you, everybody in the whole world did everything in a dress for the last how many thousands of years until the 1700s. See, these people, they're not using logic. I'm using logic this morning. I'm making sense this morning. But what they have is just a desire to wear pants as a woman, a desire to put their wife in pants, a desire to have gender-neutral clothing, so they won't listen to reason. They just will just come up with any argument. So on one hand, they'll tell you, oh, well, I want to go horseback riding. How can I go horseback riding in a skirt? But then they show you a Sunday school picture of Jesus horseback riding in a skirt at the second coming. True or false? And then they show you all the Old Testament kings and fighters. They show a guy building a pyramid in a skirt. But supposedly, oh, I can't do anything in a skirt. See, it's like you got to pick one. You got to pick one. If you can't do anything in a skirt, then don't tell me that Jesus and his disciples wore a skirt because they did stuff.
That's right.
Right? See what I'm... Does everybody get what I'm saying there? I want to make that point really clear because that's an important point. Because people who want to argue with this, they'll just keep moving the goalposts and just throwing whatever to see what sticks. I got to skip some of this for sake of time. But let's skip this. All right, there's a lot to skip here. Okay, so go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So here's what it comes down to. God wants us to wear clothing that is gender specific. This whole Jesus in a toga, Jesus in a tunic, Jesus in a robe with nothing under it. Okay, that right there is just, I mean, maybe if you're reading an NIV or something, you might be able to patch something together like that. But that's not coming from the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible shows them wearing pants. The Bible's just talking about coats. And by the way, when Jesus was crucified, they ended up parting his garments. You remember that? And he had a coat that they cast lots for. But then he had four other garments that they gave to four different people. Okay, they broke it into four parts. So Jesus was wearing at least four pieces of clothing. And we know he's wearing sandals. So he didn't have any socks on or anything like that. So he probably had a pair of pants, a shirt, a coat, a cloak. He had multiple layers of garments, a couple shirts on, whatever. Just like we today. What do we wear? And I'm not saying people in Bible days dressed exactly like we do or that we should dress exactly like they dress in the Bible. But I'm saying just like we wear pants and two shirts and a coat or something like that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, folks. People have always worn clothes that allowed them to work and do what they need to do and cover their nakedness. But the Bible is clear that we should wear modest apparel. Not only should we wear clothing that is gender specific, but that we should wear modest apparel. And let's see what that means in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 when it tells us that we should wear modest apparel. It says in verse number 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, what I want to point out here is that the Bible is not telling women to dress weird or to dress in such a way where they stand out like a sore thumb. Because the very word modest means that you're not drawing attention to yourself. Modest means humble. If I said I lived in a modest home, it means I live in a humble home. If I drive a modest vehicle, it means I'm in a humble vehicle. That's what it means. It means I'm not full of myself or putting on airs. And that's why he says not gold, not the pearls and the precious stones. He's saying your adornment should not be with those type of wealthy things, but it should be with good works. So what's supposed to stand out about us is not the way we dress. People shouldn't just see us walking down the street and just instantly say, oh, this is a Christian. That's not what God's demanding of us. This, like where you see the Amish and you're just like, they're Amish. Or you see a Muslim, right? And you're like, they're Muslim. No. The light that's supposed to shine is the good works. It's the good works. Okay. So nobody is saying that we should dress weird or put on prairie dresses, or dress like you're Amish, or dress in a way that draws attention to yourself. But what you should wear is modest apparel, humble clothing. That's specific to your gender. Now, don't tell me that you're going to look weird wearing a skirt or a dress. Because you know what? I see all kinds of heathen wearing skirts and dresses all the time. Do you think Christians are the only ones who wear skirts and dresses, ladies? Because I've seen every kind of atheist and agnostic and every religion dressed in a Hindu or a Muslim in a skirt or a dress. Look, you can wear a fashionable skirt or dress that doesn't look out of place in 2017, but you shouldn't be wearing anything flashy. You shouldn't be wearing something where when you walk in, hey, everybody, look at me. And look, this is why people make their hair green and blue and purple and everything. It's to draw attention to yourself. This is why people wear just tons of jewelry and all this stuff. It's to draw attention to yourself. Is that the purpose of clothing biblically? No. Our clothing should not be what stands out. It should be our good works. Amen. It shouldn't be that we walk in the room, it's like, oh, wow, look at that guy. Look at that hair. Look at that outfit. Look at those clothes. No, it should be, oh, wow, look at that godly example. Look at those works. Look at those achievements. We should live our life in such a way where we demonstrate good works and achievements. Not, that's the adornment that a woman should have. Good works. Let the light shine. Not, oh, look at me. I'm in a prairie dress because I'm so holier than thou. Right? Or, oh, look at me. You know, I'm Muslim. Look at me. I'm, you know. This isn't to dress weird because that's taking it to the other extreme.
Right.
But it's also not to put on a pair of jeans. It's also not to put on a pair of shorts. It's also not to wear the low-cut top and the short skirt and the mini dress and the yoga pants and that which is form-fitting and to show off your body and to try to draw attention to yourself. And preachers aren't supposed to draw attention to themselves either. That's why I'm not wearing my collar backwards and wearing long robes. Jesus said, beware of the scribes that go in the long robes.
Right.
Beware of the Pharisees. They love to wear long clothing. They love to enlarge the border of their garment. You know, we're not to enlarge the borders of our garment as preachers. We're to just wear normal clothes. Normal clothing. Women and men both are to wear modest apparel. Look, don't go out and you say, well, we can afford it. Well, you know what? Is that really what God gave you that money for, to bless you with that money so you could go out and buy just ridiculously priced clothing, when he said for women not to wear costly apparel? Now, I mean, I should get more amens from the men on this. Your wallet will thank me later when I tell you that the Bible says it's a sin. It's a sin. I said it's a sin for women to wear costly apparel. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2 tells us not to put on the expensive clothing. And, you know, you want to show off your name brands and your Nordstrom and your Dillard's and, you know, all your just $200 dresses and $400 dress and $500. That's the flesh. That's pride.
Yeah.
That's immodest. It's immodest. And the same thing goes for men with your Armani suits and your fancy shoes and everything. You know, people have sometimes criticized me for wearing rough clothing because all my clothes are from the thrift store and sometimes my clothing is a little rough. And I just tell them, hey, they're that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What'd you come out in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? They that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. You know, someday I'm going to rule and reign with Christ and then I'll put on the robes. Then I'll put on the name brands. Then I'll have the fancy clothes. But you know what? Until then, I'm going to walk on this earth as a humble servant of God.
Amen.
And these preachers, oh, well, I'm on TV, so I got to dress. Shut up and put on some humble clothing and eat a piece of humble pie.
Yeah.
And quit showing everybody a bad example on TV of disobeying Scripture with your Armani and your fancy suits and your $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Try $5 at Goodwill. $20 at Goodwill. Go to Savers. Go to Turnstile. Get some humble clothing and be a real man of God.
Amen.
And let the light shine of the good works, not wearing a bunch of fancy, expensive clothing. Male or female, it's ungodly. It's unscriptural. It's unspiritual. And so we need to be humble. And so when it comes to our clothing, we need to keep three things in mind. Number one, we need to make sure that we wear clothing that is for our gender. And number two, we need to make sure that we wear humble clothing, not just this super fancy, you know, looking like a Las Vegas showgirl type of a clothing. And number three, we need to make sure that our nakedness is covered up.
Amen.
The Bible calls the nakedness the buttocks, the thighs, the loins. We need to cover the nakedness, and we need to dress in a way that doesn't draw attention to ourselves. And we need to be gender specific in our clothing. Now, a lot of people I know are sitting there thinking, hey, Pastor Anderson's overboard. He's over the top. He's taking it too far. But let me say this. If you think I'm wrong today, let's say you walk out and say, well, I don't agree with Pastor Anderson on this. I think pants on women is fine. Okay, then basically, then what is it that women aren't supposed to wear? What are they not supposed to wear then? Well, they're just not supposed to wear men's pants. They're supposed to wear women's. Okay, well, I'll go get a men's dress. and a men's skirt. But the thing about that is they say, well, but that's different. Okay, but they say, well, there are pants made for women, though. Well, they're probably going to start making skirts for men. It wouldn't really surprise me in the day we're living in. But they say, well, it's women's pants. But you know what the difference between women's pants and men's pants are? You know what the difference is? Women's pants are form-fitting. Why would that be godly to be poured into a pair of pants that's so tight you have to try to put on the pair of pants just to show every curve? You know, and these yoga pants, it's like you're not even wearing clothing when you can see every dimple and every curve. That's not, the whole point is to cover that up. Amen. Not to just be just poured into spandex as a man or a woman. And look, as men today, when we talk about, you know, gender-specific clothing, yeah, obviously the big colossal difference between men's clothing and women's clothing is pants versus the dress. Okay, but on top of that, we as men should not dress effeminately. And women should not dress masculine in their clothing, even within the bounds of skirts and dresses and pants. You know, I'm seeing all these trends amongst men that, where they're all metroed out in their tight jeans, the skinny jeans, or the one that sags down below their waist, the lowrider jeans, okay? And look, quit dressing like a fag, and then people will stop calling you a fag.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about? Bunch of bun hugger, tight fitting. You know, at least, look, when I was growing up, yeah, they had some stupid trends of baggy clothes. But now we almost wish for that, amen? With this trend of how these skinny, bird-legged, leg-day-skipping, queer little sissies that walk around with, it's like they think it's glorious to have skinny legs. You know, in the Song of Solomon, his wife said that his legs were like pillars of marble. And look, if your legs aren't like pillars of marble, at least put on a pair of pants that makes it look like they are. You know, don't wear it with some bird leg prancing around in your, and pull up your pants. And you know what? This thing of letting your pants sag down is stupid, it's wicked, it's garbage, it's obscene. Nobody wants to look at your underwear.
Amen.
It's disrespectful. It's stupid. You see all these bunch of derelicts and everybody walking around like that. And they're like, oh man, you know, I'm so oppressed and discriminated against. Pull up your pants.
Amen.
Buy a belt. Amen. Tighten the belt. The stupidest, filthiest trend I've ever seen.
Amen.
Sagging your pants, low rider. Some of these low rider pants, you can't even pull them up. The inseam is so close to the waist that you could literally pull them as hard as you can, and it doesn't go to the waist. It's designed to be worn halfway down your booty. And you know what? Hey, don't come to church dressed like that. We don't want to look at that junk.
Amen.
And then people get mad. People come to our church and got mad when someone confronted them, are you a fag? Why do you dress that way if you don't? Oh, how dare you accuse me of being a fag? Well, you know, nobody accuses people of being a fag when they have their pants pulled up and they're wearing their Dickies and their Carhartts and their jeans pulled up with a belt on and they're wearing normal clothes or they're wearing a normal shirt and tie or they're wearing a normal T-shirt and jeans. You know, it's only when they come in looking like some magazine cover from France or some other queer place and you know, coming in, and then it's like, I can't believe I went to Faithful Word and they actually asked me if I was straight. Yeah, of course we did.
Yeah.
And look, and you know what? The way that you dress, it affects the way you act. I guarantee you ladies, and look, I'm not mad at you if you're wearing the wrong clothing. You know, everybody has to grow and learn, and everybody's always done things wrong in the past. Everybody learns things for the first time and grows and moves forward in their Christian life. But you know what? You'll notice that if you actually start wearing skirts and dresses on a regular basis, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, you know what you'll notice? You'll start acting more feminine. It's true. I mean, if you, look, you men, if you wear sweatpants and a T-shirt, You're going to lounge and relax. When you dress up in work clothes or dress up in church clothes, it makes you sit up a little straighter and you're a little more serious about what you're doing because our clothes affect our attitude. Well, when you wear a bunch of skinny jeans and girly man clothing, you're going to start prancing around like a little fairy. Even if you're not, and look, I'm not even talking about people that are a homo. I'm talking about straight men who wear the designer clothes and then they start prancing around and get effeminate. Because clothes will do that to you. And then women who put on the jeans, everything, they start kind of throwing their weight around and everything. Whereas if they wear skirts and dresses, they probably act a little more feminine, too. Then, you know, it would actually impact your behavior. And maybe your attitude will improve toward your husband. Maybe you'll quit mouthing off and disobeying your husband so much and rebelling against your husband if you'd actually let him wear the pants in the family.
Right.
And maybe you men could act manly by just getting normal manly clothes and that. I mean, look, today we live in a day where pastors dress like a metro.
Yeah.
The average pastor today is wearing tight jeans with holes in them. And look, I'm not against you having holes in your jeans if you put those holes there yourself through work.
Right.
I'm talking about they're buying jeans that already have the holes because they wouldn't break a nail doing any real work. And so they put on these pre-torn, pre-shredded jeans. You know, and they're all GQ'd out to preach to their church. They're wearing glasses whether they need them or not just so they can have the trendiest eyeglasses possible. Whether they need them or not. Put on their trendy glasses, their trendy hairdo, their trendy form-fitting clothes, and their graphic tee, and they got their tight little bird legs in the jeans, and they got the shredded with paint. They've never even painted, but it has paint on their jeans. Sitting in a bar stool, and they're doing all their feminine gestures. And then you wonder why America's going to hell. And you can sit there and say, oh, this pastor, he just preaches on his opinion. He doesn't preach the Bible. You know, it's the Bible that said that you're an abomination. I didn't say that. When you wear the clothing of the... It's the Bible that said that the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the Bible. It's the Bible that said men are to have short hair and women are to have long hair. It's the Bible that tells us to clean up the outside of the platter. It's the Bible that tells us to wear modest apparel, no gold and pearls and costly garments. That's the Bible. And so God does care how we look. He does care how we dress. And if we're going to be a good testimony, we should dress like men as men and women as women. And look, I wouldn't give you a dime for these pastors that are dressed like a teenager when they're 40 years old. It's a joke. I'm 35 years old. And I don't dress like a teenager, but dead sure when I'm 40 and 45 and 50, I'm not going to be in some midlife crisis Baptist church where I dress like a teenager and look like a fool to anyone who has any sense.
Right.
You know, when you put on clothes, don't you get all designer fashioned up? You know, what is your point? What are you trying to accomplish? Oh, women like it or something. What? Last time I checked, women were into manly dudes. You single men. And if you're married, that shouldn't even be on your mind.
Right.
You're already married. And your wife wants you manly. She wants you doing leg day and not getting bird legs. Okay? So, you know, that. I don't understand. What are you trying to accomplish with the designer fashion model clothes? What are you doing? What's the point? What's your goal? Just put on normal pants that fit.
Amen. Yeah.
Put on normal. And you know what? Here's some dating advice for you young single guys. Let me help you guys out. You guys need some help, some of you. Here's some help for you, okay? You know what? Have you ever heard of trying too hard? That's what women don't like. Because you know what it says when you're trying that hard, when you got your little perfect outfit on? You know what it shows? That you're insecure about yourself and that you have to dress a certain way to try to impress girls or something? No. You know what? If you actually just throw on some normal clothes and be yourself, women will actually look at that confidence and say, hey, this is a handsome man. Because they like to see that confidence. And by the way, if you're married, your wife wants you to be confident, not like looking in the mirror and it's feminine.
Yeah.
She wants you to just roll out of bed and go, let's go, yeah. That's manly. I'm serious. And you women, what's the goal? And let me ask you this, ladies, what's the goal with the short skirt? What's the goal with the low-cut top? What's the goal with the yoga pants? You know what, you're dressing to get attention. If you're married, it's doubly wicked. Because you should be keeping yourself only for your husband and not trying to attract other men to look at you. And if you're single and you dress that way, you know, you're just inviting corrupt men to seduce you and entice you and have their way with you. Because if you want to attract the right kind of man, you'll dress godly and let your good work shine, and godly men will take an interest in you. So what's our goal when we dress? I'll tell you what my goal is. My goal is just to be dressed in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and not to be a stumbling block unto other people, not to offend people with the way that I dress, not to stand out like a sore thumb, but just to wear normal men's clothing for the day that we live in, where God would not be offended by my clothing and where my brothers and sisters in Christ would not be offended by my clothing or caused to stumble by my clothing. And you men, if you say, well, I hope my wife's getting this sermon. You know, let's get her the tape on this.
Get her the tape.
But let me tell you something. It's your job to tell your wife how to dress.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you say, well, you know, my wife, I don't know what to do. She goes out dressed like a hooker every day. No. You better tell her, honey, we're going shopping.
Amen.
Honey, Sunday afternoon, there's a sale at Goodwill. Let's go. There's a sale at you say, I don't want to buy a Goodwill. There's a place called Turnstile over by Trader Joe's, over off your Guadalupe. And now that I'm saying that, you better get there before all the good skirts are gone. But who's ever been to that place, Turnstile? It's over by Trader Joe's and Changing Hands Bookstore over there on, is it Guadalupe and McClintock? Yeah, Guadalupe and McClintock. There's a place called Turnstile. It's like an upscale secondhand store. Everything there, it's like brand new. They have more selection than a department store. It's a little more money than Goodwill. You know, it's $20 or whatever for a garment, maybe $15, $25. But you can get some really nice clothing that's not going to break the bank. And some of you need to go there today. And some of you need to go to other thrift stores or department stores or wherever you want. Some of you need to go today. And you need to get some godly clothing. Some of you men need to go to like the Dickies outlet or the Carhartt's outlet or like the uniform store and get some men's clothing. Okay? Some of you men need to go out and get some pants that fit and buy some belts. And some of you ladies need to go out and get some skirts and dresses. And then you go home and throw all the junk out. Just throw that other stuff out. You say, well, what if I backslide? I might need it again. Get rid of it. And put on the new man, inside and out. All right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. I've already gone too long. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our church, Lord, and thank you for your word and for these biblical principles, Lord. I pray that no one would be offended by the sermon, but that rather people would just be thankful that someone's teaching them the right way to dress, because Hollywood's been lying to them and Madison Avenue's been lying and Kohl's and JCPenney have been putting too many tight pairs of pants and pink ties in the men's department, Lord, and just help every man who's here to dress in a way that would honor and please you, and help every lady who's here to cover that nakedness with some godly apparel and to just look like a normal, godly Christian lady. And Lord, just give us wisdom as we read your word and seek to live our lives in a way that pleases you, Lord. Just guide us and direct us into the truth, Lord. And that's all we want to do, is dress how you want us to dress, Lord. And if there's something wrong with the way that we dress, reveal that to us so that we can do it right. Because we want to please you in all areas of our life, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.